Hello, and welcome back to MetalDisciple.com's Metalheads Podcast. My name is George.
And I'm Buke. And we're back again, buddy.
We are back.
3 weeks in a row.
We're on a roll.
We're on a roll, buddy.
Unfortunately, I'm not going to be around next weekend, so we are going to have a break.
Goodbye streak.
But hopefully it's only one.
Yeah, you said that last time, and it was a month and a half.
Yeah. It keeps getting longer every time you tell. It was only like 3-4 weeks.
Yeah. So last night, I'm watching hockey, and I hear them mention Dennis Weidman.
Oh, I remember him.
Former Cap.
Yeah.
Got traded to the Flames.
Yeah.
The other night, he was a healthy scratch, but he was playing the other day. When he played for the Caps, I'm like, yeah, I like the guy. He's not bad.
Yeah, he was cool.
When he got traded and like other former Caps, I'm like, screw him.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking, do you have any music loyalty to any band members or bands that, hey, like Mike from Opeth, if Michael was to leave Opeth, would I be like, oh, you're Michael from Opeth. What are you doing leaving the group? Screw you. Or is your loyalty with the singer?
Okay.
You see where I'm going with this?
Sure. And right off the top of my head, Sepultura.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned, Sepultura ended when Max left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Roots was the last Sepultura album, as far as I'm concerned. Let me think, who else?
Because, you know, you and I are huge hockey fans, Cap fans. If Ovechkin, I love him to death, love him, love him, love him. If he was to leave our Caps, I'm a Caps fan first. Sorry, Ovi.
Yeah.
I'll maybe watch you, but I'm not buying your jersey if you go to the Penguins.
Yeah.
I was wondering if that loyalty, if you feel that strongly for anybody that you...
Well...
Okay, let me ask you this. If Joey was to leave Manowar...
Okay.
Would you say, Joey, you're Manowar?
That's tough, because Eric's voice, of course, makes Manowar.
Okay.
Joey, of course, is like, you know, the guy that pulls all the strings and writes the music and whatnot. So Manowar certainly wouldn't be the same, but I could still have an allegiance to Eric, and it would depend on what Joey was going to do, whether it was something good. I mean, can Joey do good music without Eric? Who knows? Let's hope we don't find out.
Has anyone left a group and gone off and done solo stuff, and you kind of look at them like, oh, you're turning your... And I know it's different in hockey because it's a business. But has anyone in music turned their back on like the band and you're like, oh, well then screw you, dude.
I don't know. Usually I tend to side with the people who leave, like Bruce Dickinson. When he left Iron Maiden, I was all about Bruce's solo work. I didn't say screw you, Iron Maiden. I just didn't like what they did with Blaze as much.
So you wouldn't have gone out and bought the Blaze jersey, bringing it back to hockey.
No. Anthrax, you know, when Joey left Anthrax, I didn't really care for Anthrax with John Bush. Joey did some solo stuff under like Belladonna, I believe it was called. And I didn't really hear much of it. So that was just sort of a awkward all around situation.
I guess I have my own example. When the whole Pantera shakeup happened, and we all know all the various side projects Phil's done, you know, Superjoint, Down, his solo stuff now. I've followed him everywhere.
When Pantera broke up and Damage Plan started happening, You didn't go to Damage Plan? See, I did. I was like, fuck Phil, he's a junky piece of shit loser. You know, I was like, it's his fault, you know? If he wasn't such a stupid junkie, Pantera would still be around. But obviously, I've changed my tune in the years since. I think Phil is actually quite cool now. So,
It was just something I was just thinking about, is just kind of that kind of translated into.
Sure.
Because, you know, we're so fanatical for our teams. I was just wondering if, you know, you're that same way for a band or an artist.
I could have been that way with Newstead. When he left Metallica, I could have been like, you know, Metallica, you know.
that's exactly what I'm
I got
for.
Your back, Metallica. Well, except for those, you know, those few years. But when Newstead left, I could have been like, fuck Newstead, man. But
that's exactly what I'm going with, yes.
But I didn't, you know, because then he went and like, he did that Echo Brain thing, and I bought it, I listened to it, I tried to support him. I was like, it's not really my thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then he jumped on board with Voivod, and I was like, oh, hell yeah.
It only lasted like an album or two, didn't it?
Yeah, I think it was like two.
Yeah.
But, you know, it brought some much-needed attention to a classic band that's terribly underrated.
Yeah.
So it worked out.
So I just want to get your take.
All right. So tomorrow, King Diamond is coming to town.
Boy, that's awesome.
Unfortunately, he won't be bringing us any presents. But then it's not Christmas, so maybe he might.
Well, we saw him last year. Well, not last year. God, it was 8-9 years ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
It was in like November, December. Yeah, I remember he played that No Presents for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. That was at Jack's.
Yes.
And that was a teeny little stage show. He's playing at the Fillmore in Silver Spring tomorrow. And I saw a picture of
all the pictures we're seeing. They're ridiculous.
Yeah, it's going to be an awesome stage show. He's bringing his full Wacken stage set, apparently, which is pretty badass. There's like stairs, and it's like kind of like purple, velvety looking stuff.
Yeah, from what I saw, it kind of looked like old castle stairs and arches and stuff.
It was like upside down crosses and like the Baphomet pentagram, and it's going to be pretty sweet.
How do you think his voice is going to be?
From what he's been saying in interviews, it's better than ever.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. I forget, does he play any Merciful Fate?
He does. He does. I was checking the set list website. Unfortunately, our show is the second show, so it's going to be pretty much a last minute know what he's playing so that I can, you know, prepare. But the last show that he did, like a month or so ago, he did play a couple of Merciful Fate tunes.
And that leads me into another question. You always do that. You're always almost a set list guy. Mm-hmm. I never look at set lists.
But it depends. Because, you know, when someone like King Diamond or Iron Maiden, who has so many songs and albums to choose from, is going to play, oftentimes they play a few songs that are, you know, deep tracks. And maybe I'm not as familiar with them. And so I want to know what those are so I can sort of get up to speed on them. I mean, obviously, I know all the main big songs for the bands, but I don't like that lull in the show where they play a song that you don't know. And you're like, oh, I kind of know that one, but whatever, I'll just look at my phone for a while. You know, I don't want that. I want to be like, oh yeah, okay, so this is that song, okay?
Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay, I remember you did that with Overkill. See, but the thing is, you set yourself up though for disappointment, because when we saw Overkill a couple years back, or was it last year, you saw the set list and you're like, oh man,
this is a shitty set list.
They're only playing like two or three old songs. Yeah. And you were saying that days before the show.
But at least I know that, you know, if I hadn't known that, I would have been in there going, what are they doing? They're not playing anything. And I would have been more anxious at the show.
See, I'm the opposite. Tomorrow, if like Abigail starts up or Arrival, I just want to hear the guitars kick in. And I just love that.
There is something to be said for that. And sometimes I do that. It just depends on the situation. If it's, you know, if it's somebody who only has like two or three albums, then I can just go and listen to all three of them. But I can't realistically get through the whole entire King Diamond catalog with paying close attention to it between now and the show. So it's just not going to happen.
You do prep.
Yeah.
See, I don't do any prep. I go in tomorrow. It's like tomorrow's another day.
I'm anal retentive. I'm always, my wife gets mad at me. I'm always trying to plan out at least the next couple of days. Okay.
I know you're a planner, but I didn't realize you prep your concert music going.
It's a relatively recent thing. I mean, I only found out about the set list thing like a year ago or so.
So this past week, you've been listening to like old Diamond?
Well, yeah, but I haven't known what he's going to play, so I've just been listening to it.
That's also, do you listen to albums or do you just listen to track that he's going to be playing?
No. You mean, well, once I know what his set list is, I build playlist.
Okay. Okay.
But, you know, like this past week, I've just been picking albums going, okay, let's listen to this one. Let's listen to this one and, you know, hope for the best. Hope that I'm, you know, well-versed enough. Because I listen to so much music. I can't remember everything. If I haven't listened to something in a couple of years, I'm like, what was that again? So I'm getting old, forgetful.
No, I'm setting myself up here. I know I've had a couple metal flubs already on our podcast. Wasn't there a shakeup in his band? Like a year ago or 2 years ago?
That was fairly recently. I think the drummer quit / fired.
Okay. Okay. I was wondering if that was going to really have any impact.
According to King, it did not.
Okay.
And he said they're, you know, they sound better and gel better than they have for a while because of the excised unhappy person.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to
be awesome.
I'm sure it's going to be. And then there's the opener, Jess and the Ancient Ones. They're one of those bands that I never really listen to much because they're kind of, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to say too much because I actually haven't listened to it enough. I put that on my phone too, hoping to listen to it a little more. But it's not really metal, I don't think.
It's kind of like that. Is it female fronted?
Yeah.
Is it like the Mount Salem type of sound and
sort
stuff?
Of, yeah. I mean, I like Mount Salem. So that's why I'm like, I want to go back and give it another chance before we see him. So, well, we'll see.
I called our local vinyl shop the other day, Vienna Music Exchange. He's going to be there. So.
Like he was at the last one?
I asked him. I called him the other day. I said, were you at that Raven show? Oh, yeah, I was there.
Where?
I wanted to say that, but I was just like, oh, yeah, it was a pretty cool show, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll see him. Maybe we'll go in again beforehand and be like, yeah, we're going to the show. You want to ride? So here's the question. We recently discussed the whole t-shirt, jean jacket thing on a couple episodes ago. Tomorrow, are you going to wear a King Diamond shirt?
No, I have the Abigail album cover shirt. Of course not. I've never worn a band shirt to the show, yeah. Ever.
I've got the them okay. T-shirt, and I like forgot I had it, and I busted it out and I washed it, and I'm like, maybe I'll wear it just because I haven't worn it. I haven't had an opportunity to wear it. And so I'm like, right on, man, I might wear it. But I've got a couple of other really obscure ones too that I'm like, maybe I'll wear those instead just because they're obscure.
Yes, yeah, where you can't break that rule.
Oh, all right.
Going back to what we talked about with that, I agree. You don't wear a band shirt to the band you're seeing, unless it's Iron Maiden. For some reason, that seems to be the rule.
Because it's just kind of cool to have that many Iron Maiden shirts in one place. I was wearing my Trooper shirt yesterday to the gym. It's funny, I was walking to the locker room, and I walked past this chick who, she had like tattoos and stuff, and she was just, you know, I was like, oh, maybe she's metal. Maybe she'll be like, nice shirt.
Did you feel like kind of blade your body?
No, but, you know, and it was just like a stray random thought. It wasn't like I didn't put much thought. It was just one of those passing thoughts as you're walking. Didn't say anything. But as soon as I got into the locker room, dude looks up and goes, nice shirt.
Of course, that's the way it works out. Of course. Well, he was probably toweling himself dry too or something, right?
No, he was dressed. But my wife is constantly surprised by how many people stop me and say, nice shirt. Well, you know, my Maiden shirt, my Amon Amarth shirts, even my Metal Disciple shirts, which nobody would know. They're just like, cool shirt. She's like, people are always, and I was like, yeah, people are always saying that to me, random people.
How many times have you and I, and it'll happen tomorrow, we always do our pre-concert dinner. It's what we do.
Yeah.
It's like we're football players, and it's like our meal before the game.
Got to carb up.
How many times have we sat down to the table, and the waiter or the waitress always comments on our shirts?
That's true.
And then they throw out, because they're always probably younger kids.
Yeah.
They throw out whatever new metal bands they think are heavy that they're listening to.
Yeah.
And we have to act like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah, I like metalcore. It's yummy.
See, I'm really excited. Any concert with you.
Well, thank you. Likewise, brother. So, yeah, tomorrow we'll be getting into that.
And we won't have a review next week.
No, we won't. Maybe we could record something, you know, with the portable. And
on the way back.
And then we'll just tack it on to the next one as a bonus.
Wouldn't that be good? Maybe bring it on a portable on the way driving home.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do that.
Save you from having to write something up for the website.
Yeah, like I do that anymore.
MetalDisciple.com.
Yes. I'm having technical difficulties on the back end. Right now, my host is working on them. The site's there, but I'm having trouble updating, so hopefully this week that'll get sorted out. So my friend Josh got a hold of me the other day, and he told me about this short documentary that I should check out. It's called The Distortion of Sound. I posted this up on the Metal Disciple Facebook page last night, so if you're interested, you can check it out. Basically, it's this short documentary that talks about how over the last
20 years,
music sound quality has degraded because of the digital music age, compression, things like that. You know, MP3s strip out like up to 90% of the sound.
I didn't realize it was that high.
I didn't either. And so I watched this documentary, and it was pretty interesting. It had people like Linkin Park, Slash, Quincy Jones, Snoop Dogg, a range of people talking about, you know, their love of music and how gut-wrenching it is when you spend so much time making music perfect.
And nobody's going to hear it.
And nobody's going to hear all the little nuances because it's getting stripped out in iTunes MP3 compression, listened to on crappy Apple earbuds or through laptop built-in speakers. And it's just kind of demoralizing for the artist to know that they put all this time and effort in and people aren't getting the full effect.
You know, my big takeaway from it, and I highly recommend everyone listening to this podcast checks it out. My big takeaway from it is that, like, I forget who said it. I should have written it down. People don't care.
Right.
To be honest, is that it's the convenience.
Yep.
Of it's in my hand. It's going right in my pocket. My earbuds are going in. My earbuds probably cost 50 cents to make.
Yeah.
You know, cheap little speakers. Just I'm going to put them in and I'm going to go.
Yeah. And I've been, you know, I jumped on the digital bandwagon immediately. You know, when the first iPod came out, I started ripping my CD collection. You know, it took me quite a while to rip my whole CD collection. Put it in iTunes, started loading it up. And back then, I think I was ripping them at 128K, which is just horrible. Even now, I try to rip everything at 320K. And unfortunately, iTunes only sells up to 256.
Do they really?
Yes. I mean, I don't know if they're still doing it. I know they, at some point, started selling, like, I don't know, lossless or at least higher quality versions, but they cost a lot more. So I never got into that. Back in the day, when we first started ripping CDs and stuff, we ripped to WAV files, which are much larger.
Oh, huge.
And WAV files, yeah, it's funny because I had to look it up. I've like not used WAV files in years. But WAV files, they're not compressed.
Hmm.
So they're giving you a fuller sound anyway than an MP3 ever could.
But were CDs compressed at all?
CDs are not compressed.
Okay.
Vinyl is not compressed. This is why vinyl sounds so good compared to MP3s. I've got something about that to talk about, too. So it's funny that he sent me this link because for the last, like, 2 weeks, I've been pondering going back. There's a format called FLAC.
I remember. I have a bunch of FLAC, yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different...
Live Metallica you can buy in FLAC.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different formats, codecs, that you can rip music in that's lossless, not compressed. And FLAC is probably the most well-known, I think. And so I was like, I was going to do a test, and I was going to rip a Woods of Ypres album in FLAC and then compare it with my MP3 version, put it on my phone, listen to it with headphones on, and see if I can tell the difference. And if I can, I intend to go back and cherry-pick from my collection, because, you know, FLAC files and WAV files and all those, they're huge. They're like 5 to 10 times the size of an MP3, which is why everybody uses MP3. It's more convenient. You can fit more of them on. You can take more of it with you. And I'm guilty of that as much as anybody else, because I have a ton of music and I want to take as much as I possibly can with me. However, like I said, I might just go back and cherry pick, you know, the Metallica albums, the Manowar albums, the Woods of Ypres albums, put all those in a lossless format. If I have to buy another hard drive to store them on, whatever, you know, hard drives are cheap now. Back when we first started doing this, it was expensive and there was no room. And now hard drive space is so cheap, there's no reason not to. I can't imagine. Well, actually, I can't imagine. I'm the kind of person that says, I'm just going to do a few. Just going to rip a few of them. And next thing you know, 6 months later, I'm just finishing up ripping all of them. I've got 12 new external hard drives. But it's something I'm looking into. And to test this theory, this morning, I was trying to think of an album that really sounds kind of crappy on MP3. And the early Anthrax albums sound kind of shitty on MP3. I've always kind of been like, it doesn't sound so good. I need to do something about that. So I busted out my Among the Living vinyl this morning, and I popped that on just to do a little test. And it sounded great. I was like, wow, okay, there's a problem here. We need to do something about this. So I'm going to start getting hardcore about that.
I think a large number of people, you know, I got 500-600 Facebook friends. I say that not to brag, but to say I could all get them to watch it. Is that going to drive any of them to vinyl? Maybe one or two.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't care.
Right.
Sadly, in music today, people don't care. People, George, from just talking to my friends and coworkers, people don't even care about albums.
No.
Anymore. It's tracks.
But there's still a lot of audiophiles out there. And if all the audiophiles are getting on board, at least there's a portion of the music community that's keeping this sound quality alive. All we can do is spread the word and hope people notice the difference.
The one thing I heard, a fact, I forget where I heard it from, but it was a couple months back, was that, I think it may have been Slagle that said this from Metal Blade, was that the heavy metal community as a whole has always adopted the physical product extremely well over the download, in the sense that if they release a new Metal Blade, a lot of people are still going out and getting the CD. A lot of metal heads are still going out and getting the vinyl.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what we have going for us too. that we have a lot of passionate, you know, people here. Because we're not like pop fans, you know. We don't have a new flavor of the week every week.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm still going to be, you know, going both ways with this because obviously I can't take my vinyl with me. So when I'm at home and I want a nice, pleasant listening experience, I'll throw on the vinyl. But, you know, unless I have FLAC files, I still need to be portable. I still want to listen to my music in the car and at work and wherever I happen to be. And so, you know, I obviously it's unlikely that I can completely give up compressed music, but I can at least make the effort to change over to a lossless format whenever I can.
I totally agree.
I was just contacted by a band from Oslo, Norway. They're called Pigeon Lake. And they were like, hey, check us out. You know, I mean, I get these emails all the time. And their name didn't really like make me go, ooh, I want to hear Pigeon Lake. But then they're like, what do we sound like? It was like Catatonia, Alice in Chains. I was like, that's kind of an interesting mix. I'll download it and check it out. I download it from their website. And it's in WAV files. And I was like, you know, at one point this would have annoyed me because I'd have to stop and convert it to MP3. And
okay, after watching that documentary now, do you convert stuff?
I used to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, so would I.
Because it just, well, I don't want to take up that much space with something. This particularly something that I haven't even heard yet and don't know if I like.
Mm-hmm.
So I did, in fact, convert this to MP3. But I held on to the WAVs just in case.
Can our phones, we both have iPhones, can they play WAV?
I Googled that this morning because I've never tried it. iTunes accepts WAV files in the library. So according to Google, you can in fact play WAV files on your iPhone. It just takes up a lot of space. I've got a 128 gigabyte phone now. I can put all kinds of shit on there now.
Yeah. He has that plus, everybody, the 6 plus. He's sitting on a table just bragging to me right now.
It's calling to you. It says, I'm so big. Don't you want me? Don't you want me, baby?
So it's you know, it's a double-edged sword here. You know, you want the convenience, but that comes at
a cost.
A cost of obviously quality and stuff like that. And watching this documentary was just a real simple explanation of, you know, the loss that we're experiencing.
Yep. All right. Well, before we move subjects on, I'm just going to read you a little bit from the website. You can check this all out if you go to distortionofsound.com. The little blurb on the website says, the last two decades have seen a striking decline in the quality of sound and listening experience. Compressed music, MP3s, and streaming have diminished the quality and flattened the emotion. Marketing gimmicks and convenience now take the place of excellence. The Distortion of Sound is an eye-opening exposé of the current state of sound starring Linkin Park, Slash, Quincy Jones, and more. This documentary will open your ears and inspire you to reach for richer, more soul-stirring musical experiences.
One more point on this. Take away listening on the go.
Mm-hmm.
It seems the at-home experience has changed, too, for a lot of people. You know, I was born in the early 80s. I remember, Steve, you know, when I was growing up, seeing stores displaying speakers,
mm-hmm.
receivers, big sound systems and stuff like that. Even simple stereos and stuff like that. How many homes do you go in now? And I go in, you know, a lot of homes of my friends and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see, and you've been in mine. I've, you know, of course, been yours. We both have nice, nice speaker setups. Mm-hmm. You know, my speakers are my pride and joy.
Right.
You don't see people even having that anymore. So I think music as a whole has changed for people.
Yeah.
Music, if you ask people, probably 90% of people, how do you listen to music when you're at home? I bet you they'd say grabbing their phone or their laptop.
Yep.
Putting earphones in.
More than likely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually looking into, I was considering getting some Sonos speakers
mm-hmm.
because my vinyl collection is sort of, it's where it is. It's not moving. It's not portable. And I've got a room set aside where all my vinyl is, and I've got my turntable and my speakers set up. And I've been researching, and in theory, I can hook up a Sonos speaker in there and then take some speakers and put them in like the next room, you know, put them into the kitchen and the living room area so that I can play them in there and listen in here. And I'm like, nice. I don't know.
A receiver, a multi-zone receiver should be able to do that for you, too.
Yeah. So, you know, but wirelessly.
Oh, wirelessly.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, I don't know, I'm looking into that because that would be pretty cool.
But, yeah, haven't you noticed that, too? That the whole at-home experience for listening for people has changed?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know.
I don't want to speak for you, but I'm going to here. Growing up, you probably knew tons of people, friends, dorm rooms, whatever, that who had the big, you know, I don't know what you call them, bookcase speakers. You know, the
yeah,
boom. This
I used to have one of those. I don't even know what it was called, but it was like, it was a dual cassette with a radio tuner on top of that and a turntable on top of that. And you had two, for the 80s, they were okay speakers, like pretty crappy speakers now. And, you know, I would like get vinyl and record it onto tape so that I could put it in my Walkman and take it with me. That was how I dealt with the problem back then. But yeah, you know, you had the, everybody had either one of those, or they had like a giant boombox of some kind, or, you know, if they really had money, some sort of, you know,
the floor speakers,
and like the real home stereo, like rack kind of thing. But yeah, now everybody's just got their phone, their laptop, whatever.
And on top of that, people are listening on crummy Beats headphones, and those things are horrific.
I used to be a fan of Bose headphones, and even those are kind of crap.
Audio Technica right now, you can say, you can kind of save money, and they're actually really good headphones.
Yeah.
So if you have any discussion on this you want to share with us, geez, George at We Are Metalheads, or Buke at We Are Metalheads, or Disciple of OV Metal, and I'm at Opeth Fan.
On Twitter.
Yep, on Twitter. You know, please.
That reminds me, did you check out the new Instagram account I created for Metalheads?
You sent me that last night. I got caught up with something. I didn't, but...
Yeah, I was like, that's a social media avenue we haven't gone down yet. I mean...
It started by you, surprisingly. Wow.
Yeah, well, Randy Blythe, that's the only social media site that he's on anymore is Instagram.
Did I tell you I met him?
Did I tell you I met him right after you met him?
I remember looking at my shoulder like, oh... You're like kind of like the awkward kid, like, you know, like kind of...
I'm like, why isn't he calling me over? Why did you tell me to stay here? Anyway. And so I was like, well, you know, why not set up an Instagram account? The first picture I put up there was the odorous funeral pyre.
Okay.
Second picture was me and Randy.
Okay.
And then the third picture was the Halloween Don't Meddle With Evil record. I was thinking I might use this to just like...
Dude, this is great exposure. You take pictures, make the account public, hashtag stuff. Oh, man, dude, you get your name out there.
Yeah, I got to figure out how to... You know,
I'll show you.
How to use it.
What's the account's name?
It's Metalheads Podcast is the name of the account. And I figure like when I get cool vinyl, I'll throw a picture up there. Like when we're at King Diamond tomorrow, I'll probably take some pictures and throw it up there. Because I don't really have anywhere, you know, Metal Disciple, unless I was writing up a review, there's really nowhere for me to put pictures from a show, or, you know, I could put it on Facebook, I suppose. I do that sometimes, but I've been talking recently about the new Slipknot and how, you know, they've released like a song or two, and I wasn't really sure whether I was going to get on board with it. Have you listened to any of it yet?
No.
Well, I have a copy of the album now, and... I'm actually really stoked about it. It's really pretty good. I think they're more of a metal band now and less of a new metal band. As the album progressed, some of their old habits sort of reared its head. And I was like, yeah, that's a little more like old Slipknot. But some of the stuff on there is pretty metal. Obviously, it's cleaner and more produced and, you know, meant for mass consumption. But it's still pretty cool. I was digging it, so I pre-ordered the vinyl.
What are you doing?
Somebody stop me.
Slipknot vinyl.
I got four on vinyl, too.
That's a band that lost their way with me for a while, around their middle.
Around their first three albums.
Yeah. The first album kind of hooked me because they were different.
Yes.
And then they kind of lost their way for a while when all the kids started finding them. I still don't understand the hype that they have around them.
No, I think they just kind of got lucky that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like they don't have talent. They obviously have talent.
I'm not going to sit here and say they're not talented, of course.
But, you know, it's one of those one in a million kind of things. It's like, talent only gets you so far. Luck's got to carry you the rest of the way.
Good point.
So, anyway, that'll be cool when that comes out. Let's get into some news stories. On a more serious note, a very old and ragged-looking Dave Mustaine held a press conference asking for help looking for his missing mother-in-law. She was last seen near a campground in Julian, California on October 4th. She has Alzheimer's disease and apparently wandered away from the campground and nobody's seen her. So if, you know, you're in that area and you happen to see a
confused older lady,
a confused 75-year-old woman wandering around, please get a hold of somebody. So I was like surprised and excited to hear that a new Psilosis album is coming out in January. It's called Dormant Heart. I put that on my news list earlier in the week, and I was like, can't wait to talk about that.
Yep.
And then yesterday, lo and behold, they release a video for a song already. It's not coming out till January.
I saw it hit Twitter. I didn't watch it.
It's awesome.
Is it really?
It is.
Hey, you're one of the bands you turned me on to. I like them a lot.
The song is called Mercy, and you can check out the video online. Give it a listen. It's pretty badass. We saw them last year.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the Ghost show? No, it was the Down show.
Mm-hmm, it was.
The Down show, yeah.
They were awesome live.
Yeah, they were.
They were really cool. So, from England, correct?
Yes.
Yep.
There was another headline this week from your buddy Michael Ackerfeld. Says he might be too old to understand what the younger generation thinks that metal really is these days. I can agree with that.
Can you? Sure. When I saw you post this, I would be interested to hear your take on this.
Well, I think I'm actually older than Mike. If not, we're at least relatively.
Relatively same age, yeah.
Yeah. And I understand this because you look at all the kids out at the malls and the, you know, running around. It's all the metalcore bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they call metal, you know, and they're like, nah, man, you listen to that stupid old people
and
metal.
Those are the ones that are debuting number ones and twos on the, you know, on these.
Bring me the fucking Horizon bullshit. I'm sorry, that is, they're not even, their earlier stuff was at least screamy, but now it's like pop. It's like, oh, we're going to play and we're going to scream and then we're going to play.
We're going to sing and we're going to sound feminine.
Yeah, and I'm like, when did they start doing that? And it was a couple albums ago. And I was like, wow, that is just fucking horrible.
Yeah, we will never discuss them on the podcast. You will never see them on the new releases. And
No, I'm not. I mean, other than to bash on them like I am now, they're not getting on the show or on my site.
So. But yeah, so that's. But he might not understand it, but I don't think that's going to change him.
No.
He's just going to play what he wants.
Yeah, he's going to do what he wants to do. And I can understand that. I listen to so many types of metal over the last 30 some odd years, you know. I mean, I started out before thrash. I lived in a world where there was no thrash. Heavy metal was Kiss and AC/DC and Black Sabbath and Ozzy. And then along came thrash. And wow, okay. So I like that stuff that I used to like, Twisted Sister, but then Metallica, Slayer, Anthrax. It's like, yeah, I like this stuff too. And so I've been through so many musical heavy metal evolutions in the last 30 years that I've come to like so much of it, but I still don't get this metalcore shit.
Now, without, you know, calling these guys sellouts, bands like Opeth, obviously they don't have the pedigree that like a Slayer does, the years and stuff like that.
They're getting there, though.
They are. How do these bands stay current? I can't find the right word. How do they stay relevant to new generations? Or if you're putting out good stuff, do the younger generations just find you? You know what I'm saying? What prevents a Slayer from kids today coming up and saying, oh, Slayer, you know, yawn.
Just continuing to put out good music. If you try to change with the times, then...
And that's where I was going with. If you try and change with the times, people are going to see right through it.
That's called load, reload, you know, during the grunge alternative.
Celtic Frost album?
Yes, yes. Cold Lake is an example of that as well. If you try to change to fit in with the times, first of all, you're probably going to fail. Second of all, people are going to see this and go, what a sellout. It's not going to smell right to people. You really just got to do what you do. Be true to what you do. And if you're true to what you do and what you do is good, the people will be there.
Yeah, because if you don't understand what the again, air quotes, what the kids like, hey, just keep playing what you like. They'll find you.
When I was listening to Among the Living earlier before you got here, I was playing Indians. And I was thinking about when we saw them at Fillmore and the war dance part. Mm-hmm. Scott stomping around and everybody just losing their fucking mind to a song that's 27 years old. 27 years old. And people are still losing their mind to this song. That is how you stay relevant. You write good songs. What else from 27 years ago? I mean, there's some good pop music from the 80s. But, you know, Debbie Gibson is probably not selling out shows with people losing their mind to her music right now.
What if there is somebody going apeshit right now?
Well, if there are, then more power to them. But
like that guy we saw at the Raven show who had the Raven back patch.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's just going nuts for her.
Yeah. Good music is good music. And that's the only thing that's going to keep you going with the fans is to continue to put out good music.
Yeah. So it does get to a point where you're like, I don't understand kids these days. I can understand what Mike's talking about.
Yeah.
But again, people can say he's no way understand. He doesn't understand metal anymore anyway. So.
I think he understands it. I think he's just evolving past it, you know? He still likes metal. It's probably older metal, but he still likes, you know, metal. He says he likes listening to metal. He enjoys metal. But that's not what he's writing. All right, moving on. So out of the blue, I was surprised to see that there's a new Blind Guardian single called Twilight of the Gods, which is going to be out on December 5th, with a full album to follow in January. They didn't list an album title with that. I don't know if Twilight of the Gods is the name of the album as well, or if it's just the single. I don't know, but I guess we'll find out.
They've kind of been off my radar the past couple years. The only thing I, when the singer, can't remember his name up right now, when he did the side project, Demons and Wizards.
Yeah.
I was kind of like,
Yeah, it was cool.
Different, but Blind Guardian the past couple years just hasn't had that same early kind of Blind Guardian
sound. I feel like they've sort of gotten into a formula for how they write their music. And so it hasn't been quite as interesting, as exciting as their older albums like Imaginations from the Other Side. So they've, you know, sort of become part of the machine, and this is the way they do it. And so I'm hoping that this is going to sound a little more fresh. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into some new releases this week. You ever listen to the band Ancient Wisdom?
No.
They're not really heavy in terms of metal, but they're kind of doomy and they're kind of cool. They've got a new album coming out called Sacrificial. I got the promo for it. I only listened to like a song of it before I got interrupted, so I can't really say too much, but sounded cool. Definitely going to go back and check that out. The album I mentioned last week, Blut aus Nord and Memoria Vetusta III Saturnian Poetry, is also seeing release.
I checked it out last week.
Yeah?
Good stuff.
It is good.
Yeah.
So hopefully my vinyl's on the way. Next up is Exodus and their new album, Blood In, Blood Out, featuring the return of Steve Souza. I'm not entirely sure if this is actually coming out or not. iTunes has the expected release date of October 14th, which is what I had been expecting, but my Amazon pre-order of the vinyl has the date pushed back to end of November. It may just be the vinyl that's been pushed back. Maybe everything else is still on schedule. I don't know. But it may be out this week, so you should definitely check that out. I was listening to that at the gym yesterday. Fucking brilliant.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Definitely a return to form for the band. It doesn't, it sounds more contemporary musically, but with Steve on vocals, it just, I don't know. It just sounded amazing. Definitely going to be one of the top thrash albums of the year. We're going to have to do a convincing buke with Exodus, I think, because you need to get on board with these guys. Ozzy Osbourne is releasing his, 200th album compilation, best of whatever. It's called Memoirs of a Madman. Not coming anywhere near that one. I already have all his
you
music.
You have one, you have more.
Yeah, I don't need another compilation. Pig Destroyer is releasing their EP, Mass and Volume.
People in this area have always gone crazy for them. I've never been able to get on board with them. No. It's just a couple minutes, to me, of just noise.
Yeah. Well, some people like it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're okay. They're pretty cool. I listened to a little of this. This is actually like some Doom outtakes that they did on a previous session, like an old session, where they, because, you know, usually they're pretty like fast grindcore kind of stuff, and they like slowed it down. It's still like really, but, you know, but it's like more slow and doomy. So check that out. Revocation has a new album called Deathless. You gonna check that out?
Definitely. Oh, I love these guys. Like I've never been able to truly define technical death metal, but if there's a definition that I can say what is a technical band, death metal band, these guys.
Yeah.
These guys are freaking spot on with everything they do, with all their solos, with all their playing. These guys are fucking geniuses with some of the sounds that they make.
I've seen the album cover for the new album. It looks pretty sweet. I haven't heard any of the music yet.
Bummed that day. We missed them at barbecue.
Yeah. Yeah, I was pretty bummed by that too. Finally, after 20-some-odd years, the return of Sanctuary with their new album, The Year the Sun Died. I know you've finally gotten into these guys recently after I convinced you to pick up their first album on vinyl.
Yep.
Yeah, I first heard Sanctuary right after the release of Refuge Denied. I saw them open for Megadeth on their first tour, bought the t-shirt. Really got into these guys. And then when their second album came out, Into the Mirror Black, that's when I lost my mind for these guys. I was like, these guys are so awesome. Josh knows what I'm talking about, don't you? These guys fucking rule. And then they broke up.
Yeah. And then you hear you have this hype for Nevermore.
Mm-hmm. I never did.
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't. I, for whatever reason, I bought every Nevermore album because
like me, like A Cold Heart in the Dead World. Oh God. One of my favorite albums.
For whatever reason, I just never got deep into Nevermore. I put it on once in a while. And I'm like, but I never got into Nevermore.
Maybe we should turn the table a convincing George.
That's a good idea. Maybe we'll do that one of these weeks.
We flip-flop week to week.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm always telling myself I need to go back and listen to Nevermore because I just haven't gotten into them. And then as soon as I listened to the new Sanctuary album, I was just boom. I was in. I was like, yes, this is Sanctuary. This is awesome. Definitely another one of the thrash albums of the year. It's not total thrash. I mean, I guess in the 80s, it would have been considered thrash. Now, I don't even know what you'd call it, but it's awesome.
Is the other than Worrell, is the whole band original, do you know?
I don't think the whole band is. I think part of the band is. I think somebody, they couldn't get to come back. I'd have to look that up, though.
That's cool. That's great. That's great. You've always been big on these guys.
Yeah. So, congratulations and welcome back, Sanctuary. The last new release this week is a band. I actually don't know much about them.
I mentioned them to you.
That's why I put them on here. They're called Starkill, and their new album, Virus of the Mind.
It's kind of like, I remember the description when I texted you when I heard them for you to check them out. It's kind of like a Dragon Force meets a death metal vocals.
Mm-hmm.
So picture the speed of the playing that Dragon Force brings. Add in heavier vocals. That's your Starkill.
Yeah.
Pretty cool stuff.
I'm not playing this. You don't hear this.
Nope.
But imagine, if you will, that's what they sound like. Anyway.
Imagine. I don't know what that was.
That was me recreating with my mouth what it sounds like to be Starkill.
So they're awesome.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to give that a listen.
Yep.
As you can tell, it's already on my phone.
With all the size you have on there.
Well, thank you for complimenting me on my size.
Now, what's the indie band of the week now?
This week's band comes from the Netherlands. I'm going to butcher their name probably, but they said that was going to be okay. Sheel Magagnar. This is a two-man project. They do a progressive atmospheric black metal. I first came across these guys earlier in the year. In fact, I think I played them for you. Blew me away. So when I was looking for someone to put on the show this week, I reached out to these guys a couple days ago. They kindly let me have permission to play some songs from their album. The album is called Emergence. Came out back in February, and they asked me to pass this along to you. Dear listeners, we hope you will enjoy our work. We are a fully self-reliant two-man project, so if you like what you hear and wish to support us, please consider buying a CD on our Bandcamp page or a digital copy on your favorite music platform. All proceeds will go directly towards future productions. Thank you very much. So we're getting ready to play you a song from the album. If you dig it, you can go to their Bandcamp page, where you can buy the CD or the download. If you want to pick up a shirt, you can go to Spreadshirt. I've had some of my Metal Disciple shirts made at Spreadshirt. They do good work.
Yeah, they do great work.
You can also find them at their own website, and I'm going to spell this out for you. SHYLMAGOGHNAR.com. You can also find them on Facebook and YouTube. I think after you hear this song, you're going to want to go check them out. This is the song called Emergence. All right, that was Sheelma Gagnar and their track Emergence from the album of the same name.
You can put that right on the shirt. No, you know, metal stylings on the logo. People would still be like,
Yeah, well, you know, when I first came across them and I saw the album cover, and it's like a orangish reddish sky with this like funky like tree, and it's got the logo across the top, and I was like, what? I mean, you know, I'm used to trying to decipher difficult black metal logos, but I was just like, what? Way too many consonants in there. And when I asked the band if I could play some of their music, they were, you know, they were like, they agreed. And I came back and I was like, one other thing. How actually do you pronounce the name? I was like, I don't want to butcher it. He sent me a link to a MP3 of like the Stephen Hawking voice pronouncing the name. So he said that was close. So hopefully what I did was right. He said they sort of brought it on themselves by naming the band that way, so not to worry about it too much. But these are the little details that I care about, so hopefully I got it right. Stick around to the end of the podcast, and we'll be playing you another song from the band.
Named?
Sheelma Gagnar.
Good, good, good.
I'm getting it. One of these times I won't have to reference the recording every time I try to say it. All right, so given the occasion of the King Diamond concert tomorrow, you had the brilliant idea of doing our top three King Diamond albums.
And if we did this in the past, forgive us.
Yeah, I feel like we've talked about some of these before, but yeah, it may have been a different context. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to go back and start. I'm trying to work on a new Metalheads website, and I think I'm going to, in the details for each episode, I'm going to list, this is the band that's the top three this week. You know, I won't say what the details are, good, but I'll say, like, this is the band that was the top three, and this was the...
Maybe this is the classic.
This is the classic, and this is the band we were listening to. That way, when for our own reference, we can go back and go, oh, yeah, we already did that.
Or somebody else for their reference, you can reference
them. Yep. Exactly. You know, being that the new website's going to have, you know, we don't have all that much for a podcast. You know, Metal Disciple has written reviews and video reviews, and, you know, there's a bunch of different stuff on there. But the podcast is pretty much the podcast. So you have room to go into detail more. So that's what I'm trying to do with, and, you know, recreating the site. Hopefully that'll be up soon.
Can I ask you quickly before we get into this thing about King, can I ask you a King question?
Sure.
I always like asking you how you first found bands, and I like your stories about you always found these bands like Kill 'Em All when you first saw that album cover.
Mm-hmm.
King Diamond, you know, I know with his Merciful Fate days, and obviously the way he paints his face and stuff like that with the dark images and the satanic stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
What was your first exposure to King? Was it seeing an album cover? Had you known of him from Merciful Fate?
I did not know Merciful Fate. Well, that's not entirely true. I had heard Merciful Fate. I didn't know, but it was like a dubbed cassette.
Mm-hmm.
So all I had to go on was there was music and it said Merciful Fate. Knew nothing about who was in the band. I didn't know any pictures, but I had heard Merciful Fate before King Diamond. My first exposure that I can remember to King Diamond was like the cover of a magazine, like Circus or something. Mm-hmm. There's a picture. It was like King Diamond. It was probably like right after he left. It was like probably right when Fatal Portrait came out. It was like King Diamond. And I was like, wow, look at that dude. He's all painted up. And it wasn't corpse paint back then. It was Kiss was pretty much it.
Did he have the crosses then?
No. Well, I mean, it's evolved a lot over the years. Yeah. So I don't think so. I think it was much more like Gene Simmons, curly black face paint kind of thing.
Oh, it was. I remember seeing early pictures.
The classic look.
Yeah.
And so I remember seeing it on a magazine cover and going, huh, who's that? And King Diamond. I thought the whole Diamond part was a little like Neil Diamond, you know? I was like, I didn't know what to think. But then one of my classmates, he picked up Fatal Portrait, and he played that for me. And I was like, wow, dude sings high. and so it was definitely an acquired taste getting into King Diamond. And then, of course, Abigail came out, and that pretty much clinched it.
Okay.
So that's my origin story.
So, okay, well, I'll get right into my top three. Number three is The Eye.
Okay.
Number two is Them.
Okay.
And again, each of these albums, you know, just like we talked about a couple weeks ago, or talked about last week, they're all concept albums. They all tell a little story.
Yeah.
If you know, just going track by track, hearing the stories that he sings about and talks about, it's cool. And number one, you know, I really don't have a lot of backstory on any of these other than I really like them. Number one's Abigail.
Yep.
It's a big album that got me into King Diamond. All the tracks are just awesome. And it really... When George texted me a couple years back and said that it made King Diamond, what's it, a rival made it into, or Mansion in Darkness made it into Clerks 2,
mm-hmm.
was it?
No, actually, I think it was off of them. It was...
You know what it is, when they pull up and they're blaring it out of the van or the car.
It was like
that
Grandma, What Was It Like song.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
Yeah, because like when Jay's like climbing in through the drive-thru.
Yes.
Yeah, it was definitely something from them.
And then, yeah, Abigail's number one. It's just, that story is wicked. All the songs in that album are awesome.
I think this is probably the closest in tune we've been.
Wow.
We have the same three albums in different order.
Oh, okay.
Number three for me, The Eye. The first song on The Eye, Eye of the Witch. The keyboard and the guitars and just the songwriting on that song. One of my favorite King Diamond songs. It's just brilliant. I love that album. I even was playing the vinyl of it when I got it. And my wife, who does not like metal particularly, was like, that was really good. I was like, what? You like King Diamond? So that's how good it is. It's just an incredible album. My number two is Abigail. You are correct. Abigail is an amazing album. And that was really the album that, like I said, clinched me on King Diamond. It was like, yes, this is a badass album. But my number one is Them. That was the album that I got addicted to. When that came out, I bought the cassette, and I just played the shit out of that album. So, why are you shaking your head?
Because Abigail's start to finish, that album is just awesome.
We're not judging it on technical merit. This is preference.
Okay, you're right. We don't argue on this. I know.
If I reach for an album, it's probably Them.
Okay. Did you even give Abigail 2 much to listen?
Not a lot. I mean, I have it. I don't have it on vinyl yet. Probably give it a lot more listen once I get it on vinyl. But I've been with a lot of bands. I'm guilty of listening to the early albums more than the more recent albums. But recently I was listening to, which one was it? It was Spider's Lullaby.
Spider's Lullaby.
Or possibly Puppet Master. Might have been Puppet Master.
That's when we saw him on that tour.
And I was like, surprised how much I actually really do like it a lot. I was like, wait, this is really good. This isn't like end of the career album. This is really good. So I'm, you know, part of my ritual here leading up to the show is to try and give a listen to some more of these more recent King Diamond albums to become more familiar. And that's part of why I want the set list. I want to know which of these newer songs he's playing so that I can make sure that I'm familiar with them.
Yeah, I like some Puppet Master, you know, since I'm late into the game to all these artists, you know, Puppet Master for me when that came out, I was just, you know, new to King. So I checked it out and I loved that album.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
It's not obviously didn't make my top three, but great stuff.
Yeah. I'm so glad that he's back in good health and getting back on board. He's, you know, like we mentioned, he's releasing that Best Of album, but what I'm waiting for is a new King album. Hopefully that's gonna materialize next year.
Who would you pick? King or Merciful Fate? Put them together.
I mean, put them together.
Who do you prefer?
That's tough. Because the stuff that King did with Merciful Fate is kind of different. It's very similar, but it's also slightly different. And the last few years, given that King has been on hiatus, I've really been revisiting the Merciful Fate collection, particularly the first two albums. And that's really been probably my preference the last few years. But there's a heck of a lot more King Diamond music out there. So, I don't know, what do you say, you know? I love them both.
Yeah.
All right, so, last time, on Convincing Buke, I tried to convince Buke that he should really get into Overkill, and I tried to sway him with three songs from The Years of Decay. I Hate, Playing with Spiders, Skull Crusher, and the title track, The Years of Decay. I'm ready for disappointment.
Okay, I am going to be honest here. When you told me to, I'm trying to get the order correct, when you told me to listen to Years of Decay,
mm-hmm.
that song started to turn me around a little bit.
I listened to it in the car yesterday, and I was like, how could you not love this song? I get goosebumps, particularly at the very end.
Yeah.
When the tom drums are going, and then it's da 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 da, da and he's like, Years of Decay. I'm like, oh my God. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. How could you not love that song?
His vocals don't sound as rough mm-hmm. as he's obviously, as age has taken its toll on him.
Sure.
Definitely, I could put this album right up there with other albums of its time.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it's not talked about more that I've seen it.
I agree.
So you've give a check to George for this one.
Woohoo!
George, the record's 1-1 now.
All right. So what about the other songs? Like, I Hate?
I Hate, it was catchy.
Yeah.
It was catchy. You know what I'm saying? You don't find that a lot in a metal song.
Mm-hmm.
It was catchy.
I love the guitar intro. I actually, like, back when that, you know, in 87, when I think it was that came out, I was going to guitar lessons still. And I took that song in to my teacher and said, teach me how to play this intro. And I used to know how to play that intro. And it's pretty cool. It's good. So that's another reason why I'm so obsessed with that song. Other than the fact that the lyrics are just perfect when you're having a bad day. You know?
You've turned me around on this one. Now, I can't say you turned me around fully to, like, into the, I'm going to start going back and listening to them all the time, but...
Well, you should check out Taking Over. I was going to post some Taking Over songs as a bonus thing on Facebook, but I didn't have time.
I listen to these three songs first, and then I go back and listen to other songs from it. You definitely picked the best songs on the album.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think of Playing with Spiders? I mean, that is a very... heavy, slow, yeah. It's different.
I don't think it fits them.
No?
It doesn't fit them. Like, I think I'm
right.
Chugging along, you know?
Yeah. All right, well, I'll take what I can get.
But going back to that you, okay. You picked the best songs off the album.
Thank you.
So you know what you're talking about.
Excellent.
So that's quickly become one of my favorite parts of the podcast.
All right.
And you know, I have a whole list of other bands I'm not on board with yet.
Yeah. Well, I think Exodus will probably be the next one.
Yeah. You know, I'm not into them.
Right.
Okay. What I'm listening to this week. This is actually, we mentioned this last week in new releases. I'm listening to the release from Rigor Mortis.
Ah, yes.
Slaves to the Grave.
I can't believe I didn't put that down as mine. I listened to that too.
I've been listening to it almost nonstop.
It is fucking brilliant.
You know how I describe it? As if, tell me if you're hearing the same thing as me. It's as if Dave Brocky was doing death metal.
I thought
did you hear that too?
I did hear that.
It's just, it's great.
It
is. This is a great release. It does. It sounds like Dave is freaking singing death metal. It's not super, super heavy. It's great. I put it old school death metal without the super heavy, heavy, heavy vocals.
Yeah. I was at the gym the other day when I first, you know, when I get to the gym, I put on my headphones, and that's when I try to listen to new music because I can really focus on it. And I put on Slaves to the Grave. First track is Poltergeist. As soon as that track started, I almost started crying. I was like, I can't do this here. I'm at the gym. I know I'm a big wuss and all, but the reason I almost started crying. Okay, as we've mentioned before, the guitar player on this album, the Rigor Mortis' guitar player, is Mike Scaccia, also of Ministry. He passed away 2 years ago from a heart attack that he had on stage. Mike Scaccia's guitar playing is something, you know, fuck Dragon Force, okay? You listen to Mike play guitar. The first time I heard and, like, recognized Mike's guitar playing was on the Ministry Psalm 69 album. Prior to Psalm 69, Ministry was kind of heavy, but Psalm 69 really stepped up in the guitar department. And that's because of Mike. And there's a song on that album called TV2. Fastest fucking guitar playing I have ever heard. You need to hear this song.
Okay.
I haven't listened. Ministry, Psalm 69, TV, like Roman numeral 2.
Okay. I've heard this, of course, the title track.
And it's like, brrr, it is so fucking fast. And Poltergeist opens the same way. And it's like, you instantly know that's Mike.
I can get a credit. I mention them again. I was listening to the Metal Sucks podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And... they, you know, at the towards the end, they play a couple songs after the interview. They played that song "Reign of Ruin."
Yeah,
and Chuck made a quote. He goes, "I have a feeling you're going to be listening to this for a while now."
Oh yeah,
it instantly, you know, because as it's playing before they tell you who it is.
Yeah,
instantly, I'm pulling out my phone and I'm sound hounding it. Who is this?
Yeah,
this was great. It was leaving here actually last week.
Yeah,
I've been listening to it the whole week.
Yeah, it is a really awesome album, and I'm so happy that this was released as like a final tribute to Mike, because, mm-hmm. you know, he was gone way too soon.
Was this what, old recordings that they had?
I believe they were working on the album at the time.
Okay.
And then he died, and I don't know if it was done at the time or if they had to finish things up, but I mean, Mike's the guitar player on the album, so obviously he had to be there for at least as much.
Were you a Rigor fan? Back when it came first,
yeah, you know, it was definitely different back in the day, you know, because I wasn't really into death metal back then, and this was like late 80s, but yeah, they're classic.
Yeah, but I am really digging on this album. It's awesome.
I'm happy.
Yeah, it's this is
This is awesome.
I'm glad you brought it up, because when I was at the gym, I was composing all these things in my head that I was going to say. I was like, oh, I got to talk about this album. And boom. And I completely forgot.
Another thing I also listened to, I wanted to quickly put this in, is I mentioned it like a month ago, Between the Buried and Me put out a Blu-ray, Future Sequence, live at the Fidel Torium. And I wanted to mention this because this album, they play the Parallax Part 2 start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to see a band as technically proficient as they are. Just the drumming alone. I'll let you borrow this Blu-ray. It is amazing to watch them play an album as technical as their stuff is.
Yeah.
Start to finish. It's just them in this little round studio. Play it and not miss a freaking mark. It is amazing.
I bet.
If they stopped and edited this, it's amazing editing, because you can't even tell one single bit. It doesn't look like it.
Why would you bother?
Yeah, exactly. It's amazingly done. So if you have a Blu-ray, it's on sale at Best Buy. I got it for like $11.
Oh, I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm getting that.
Definitely worth checking out. It's amazing.
Yeah, I love Parallax 2 and 1.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely going to check that out.
Yep.
All right. Well, I've been listening to a band this week that I'm sure you haven't heard of. They're a Spanish band. They're called, and I may not get this pronunciation right either, Helivorn. This is their third album, Compassion Forlorn. These guys play a sort of gothic death doom. It's kind of hard to describe. It's not like Daylight Dies kind of death doom.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of ethereal, airy, open space in this music. I can't even figure out how to say it properly, but it's very clean production. The songs have just so much room to breathe. They're slow, doomy. The vocals are harsh. There's clean vocals, but the harsh vocals are well enunciated, and they just sound really good. And I'm pretty sure I heard their last album, but when I saw this one, I was just like, hey, let's check it out. Death Doom, I always want to hear that. And then I listened to it, and I was like, whoa! I love this. I really dig this album, and I think you will too, so I'm going to have to make sure you check these guys out, because it is very good stuff.
See, I love when you hit me with stuff like this. I know, you know my musical taste so well. I love when you can speak confidently that I'll like it, you know?
Yeah. Okay, well, for everybody, just to make sure, that's Helivorn, which is Helivorn, and the album is called Compassion Forlorn. Check it out. All right, what's your classic this week?
So, because you had me listening to Overkill, and I was on a thrash kick, early 80s thrash kick.
Yeah.
That's really pretty much a lot I was listening to this week, other than the Rigor album.
Mm-hmm.
This one's going to hit you, too. You're not going to pick it this one at all. This album I actually listened to, and I tried to find it on vinyl. It hooked me on first playthrough. This is Sabbath, and their release, History of a Time to Come.
Sabbath.
Or I'm Sabbath. Yeah, that's a Sabbath. I'm sorry.
I have that on vinyl.
Do you?
Yeah, this guy's fucking rock.
This fucking album shreds, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. The Dreamweaver is another album by them.
Yeah.
Yeah, the singer, I can't think of his name right now.
Right here. The singer is Martin
Valkyr or something. Yeah, he was in another band.
Skyclad.
Skyclad, right? Yeah. So, yeah, those guys are cool.
Yeah. Cool sound, man. Cool sound. I love his vocals are really raspy, really, really, really cool stuff. The tracks A Cautionary Tale, Hosanna in Exilis, For Those Who Died. Man, those three songs right there. Awesome, awesome stuff. And I knew it was Sabbath, and I fucking said Sabbath like an idiot.
Jeez. It's all right.
I shouldn't have a microphone in front of me.
It's habit, you know?
But this is good. This is a great album.
Yeah, and something that I only discovered recently that I never really knew much about the band members, but a few years ago I realized the guitar player is the metal producer extraordinaire Andy Sneap.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what? He was in that band? Oh my God.
And this is, again, we talked about it last week, one of those bands that, how didn't these guys take off?
Yeah, I don't know. It's because harsh vocals in the late 80s. It didn't take off until the 90s.
Amazing playing. Amazing playing, amazing vocals on that album.
Oh, yeah. Definitely a classic.
And of course, you have it on vinyl?
I've got both of them on vinyl.
Really?
Yep. Both of the Martin albums. I think there were one or two other albums with a different singer. Mm-hmm. I don't have those.
And do you have the first pressing?
That's probably the only pressing.
There was a second pressing with a couple live tracks that they put on, too.
Mm. I think it's the original pressing. I don't recall any live tracks.
Yeah, because I called our store and asked.
Well, I was worried there for a second that you were going to be choosing, when you were saying you were listening to old thrash, I was worried you were going to pick my album, and I was like, that would be so weird if we picked the same album. But we didn't. I went with Anthrax's second album, Spreading the Disease, from 1985. Hmm. Spreading the Disease is my first Anthrax album. It's the first album to feature Joey Belladonna on vocals. And this is probably the album that caused me so much OCD over the years. I saw an advertisement in Hit Parader magazine, 1985. It was, I don't know, it had to be like Megaforce. It had Anthrax, and it had the cover for Spreading the Disease and Fistful of Metal, which, while I don't really care for Fistful of Metal, the album cover in 1985 was really fucking cool. It was like a dude with like a fist in his mouth and like blood. there were a couple other bands like The Lone Ranger and Exciter and possibly Metallica. But I remember this ad and the picture of the Spreading the Disease cover with the dude on the like the gurney and he's all like, ah! And I was like, ooh, that looks cool. And of course, you know, back then finding this music was next to impossible unless you mail ordered it. And I remember I went to some out-of-the-way mall on the outskirts of Ann Arbor. I can't even remember the name of it now. It's not there anymore. But they had a little music store in there, and I found Spreading the Disease on cassette, and I was instantly hooked on Anthrax. So many great songs on here. AIR, Lone Justice, Madhouse, Armed and Dangerous, and Medusa.
The Enemy.
The Enemy. It's a classic, and that's probably why I could never have Anthrax without Joey, because that album just blew me away. I was probably more into Anthrax before I was even into Metallica. I'd heard Metallica, but this was pre-Puppets.
This is the first album with Frank, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is an absolute, hands-down classic. Should check that out.
Those years, those a couple years in the mid-80s, man, there were some strong fucking albums coming out there.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Makes me proud to have been around for it. Not that I had anything to do with it, any reason to be proud of it, but I'm proud. At least I'm proud of my metal, my scene.
I didn't realize this. Looking here on Wikipedia, the video for Madhouse was banned from MTV. Believed the content to be degrading to the mentally insane.
As if people gave a shit about that in the 80s.
Huh.
I remember hearing something about that, though, yeah. All right, well, here we are at the end of another episode. Make sure to check us out online. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Just go to iTunes and search on Metalheads. We'll pop up.
We're on Instagram now.
That's right. Metalheads Podcast on Instagram. We're on Facebook at MetalDisciple.com. You can also go to MetalDisciple.com and check out other stuff. We're on YouTube, Twitter, as we mentioned before. I'm Disciple OV Metal.
And I'm Opeth Fan.
You can get a hold of either of us at Metalheads Pod. So check us out. Drop us a line. Let us know what you're thinking.
Now hopefully George will have his recorder tomorrow and we can do a little review of the King Diamond show.
Yeah.
Be, like we did with, at the Guar Fest.
Yeah, that was fun. Oh, that's right. I forgot. I told you that yesterday. Remember when we were documenting the podcast for the barbecue,
oh, yeah.
We talked about these guys that we met from Arizona.
These guys are epic.
And they took a Greyhound bus from Arizona to the barbecue in Virginia. And you know, we hung out with these guys for a little while.
50 hours one way.
We hung out with these guys Friday night after the memorial, you know, like 2 o'clock in the morning. And we chatted with them, and it was a good time. And I just yesterday received a Facebook message from one of the guys. His name's Tyler. Hello, Tyler. And he was just like, hey, it's me. It's your drunken Arizona buddy. And, you know, it was great hanging out. And
I just got back a couple of days ago.
Thanks for the shout on the podcast and wanted to know if we were going to be there next year. And I wrote him back and I was like, did you just get back? And I'm like, yeah, man, hoping we'll be there next year. So maybe yeah. If you're there, we can hook up again.
That'd be so cool. It was fun. I'm definitely going back.
Yeah. So it was good to hear from you, man. Keep in touch.
That's great. Thanks for taking the time to write.
Yeah. All right, let's close this episode out with another song from Shilmagognar. This is the track A New Dawn. See ya.
Later.
Hey everyone, George here. Sabuke and I did in fact record a little bit of portable post-King Diamond Show dialogue. Unfortunately, I accidentally had the gain up too high on the portable microphone and it sounds completely blown out. You can still hear it, but it sounds kind of crappy. So if you want, here's another 10 or 15 minutes of us flapping our mouths. If the quality is too awful, then just go ahead and skip it. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. See ya.
Hello, and welcome to the after party of the King Diamond Show, Population 2.
Yes, that's us, George and Puke.
I just finished having a little temper tantrum. But we'll get to that.
Yeah. So the day today started, I took you to Soundgarden in Baltimore.
Holy hell! What an amazing music store this is. I'm so glad that a place like this still exists. It was friggin' huge, first of all. I can't remember the last time I saw a music store this big. And Buke's been telling me how wonderful their heavy metal vinyl section is. And I'm like, uh-huh, yeah, whatever. Sure, okay. But we get there. And, I mean, granted, compared to, like, a regular music store, the heavy metal section is not that big. There's probably, like, 5 or 6 rows. But, like he pointed out, there's enough there to actually have dividers with band names on it.
Yeah. And on top of that, within the normal A through Z and the band names, there's various imports of imported vinyls.
Yeah, their prices for imports were amazing.
$20 for imports.
Yeah, I picked up 2 Nick Cave albums, granted not metal, but dark and cool anyway, that I've, you know, The Boatman's Call, $24.99 import.
And was that when you said you've seen online for $100?
Yeah, I haven't been able to find that online for anywhere less than $100, and like shipping from Europe. So I was pretty damn impressed.
So, leaving there, you know, we were on a high note. Everything's been was great at that point. We drove down to Silver Spring, where the Fillmore is. It's where the show was happening. It seats about 2,000 people. So, we had a couple hours to kill beforehand. We decided to, you know, do a normal concert fare for us. We're big craft beer guys. We decided to have a couple of local craft beers. If anybody goes to the Fillmore, we highly recommend the Quarry House Tavern. It's a dive bar. Service is a little slow.
It's a little dirty.
Extremely, but they have an extensive beer menu. Great, you know, pub food, you know, burgers, that type of stuff. So we spent a couple hours there, and then we went and stood in line for the show.
Yep. Doors were almost on time. I think it was just a little, yikes, just a little slow getting in. But once we got in, it was only like 15, 20 minutes until the first band came on, which was Jess and the Ancient Ones.
Yeah, what was your thought of them?
Well, I'd heard them before, the recordings anyway.
Okay. And for those of you who don't know what I'm saying, they're a, what, 6-piece?
7.
So, yeah, 7-piece. We have retro back to the prog type of
retro stoner, yeah, doom kind of, yeah, psychedelic thing. The singer, she moved around on stage like she was tripping balls, like Janis Joplin.
That was the biggest distraction for me.
But the music was better than I expected. Having heard the recordings, you know, from what I recall, they were very, you know, they had that old retro kind of crappy 70s sound, which I was just like, I'm so tired of that sound. But live, the music was pretty heavy, sounded good. She sang in tune.
Mm-hmm.
I know you and our friend that we made.
Yeah, we kind of dug them. I really don't have anything bad to say. The only issue I have with them is their songs seem to go on 9-8 minutes or so,
But there, within the song itself, there wasn't much variation. So to where, you know, instrumentally, so where it just seemed like it was the same part of the song going on and on and on and on. And yeah, the song didn't seem broken up and diverse enough within the song itself to really keep me entertained through it enough.
Yeah, I was thinking in my head, hashtag Doom makes me sleepy. Even though I like Doom, I was like, wow. I was yawning, and there were people around me yawning. I was enjoying it, but I was still getting sleepy.
Yeah, I was checking. I was checking my phone a couple of times for text messages and stuff like that. I have to say also, I was checking our new Instagram. And that's a little plug for that. We do have Metalheads Podcast on Instagram. Check us out.
Yep, I'll be putting up some pictures from tonight when I get back. I already put up a couple.
And then, so, it played for like, what, 45 minutes or so?
Yep.
And then the curtain went up, and we were getting ready for King.
Yeah, it's really nice to have a show where there's an opener and a headliner, and that's it. You know, I used to enjoy shows that had four or five openers before the headliner because I got to see all these, you know, up-and-coming bands that I'd been hearing about, but now it's just, it makes for such a long evening that I just get tired before the headliner comes on. So it's kind of refreshing to just have one opener, headliner, boom.
Okay, now mind you, everything until this point's going great. George and I are having a great day. Only thing that kind of bummed me out is I don't carry cash. I wanted to buy a King shirt. They were only taking cash. I could have taken money out, but I'll buy one online. But George and I have plenty of room all around us. Everything is looking great. It's roomy. Then right before King Diamond, now I'm kind of turning around behind me, kind of leaning on the wall for the soundboard. I turn around right as the lights start to go down, and I look, and now there is packed all around us. And poor short George is now blocked in.
Engulfed in a sea of assholes. By assholes, I mean anybody taller than me.
Now, I can also say, I was on my tippy toes for a lot of the show.
My neck is sore from trying to crane it up over people to see. I'm not that short. I'm almost 6 foot. But it's like, I look to the left, people I can see over. I look to the right, people I can see over. Everybody in front of me, like 6'3", 6'4". And then, of course, there was a guy that I was screaming at you about.
You were pissed.
I wanted to punch the guy in the back of the head. Okay, I will grant you he was doing nothing technically wrong. He just happened to be in my way. And he had to be, like I said, at least 6'3", 6'4". And I call him Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. Because he looked like he should have been at a fucking boy band show. Okay, first of all, he was big and muscular and wide. His neck took up a third of the stage. And it kept, like, moving in and out. I watched his neck the whole fucking show. And it was like, it was like flexing, yeah. I was like, what the fuck? I'm looking at everybody else. I'm like, nobody else's necks move like that. What the hell is wrong with you? And he's got, like, a bandana around his head with a hat on. And the hat is, like, pulled down really far.
Over his ears.
Yeah, and like cocked to the side. And I'm like, you're at the wrong show, dude. And you're too tall and you're standing in my way. Fuck you, get out of the way. Oh, but no, he was, it wasn't bad enough that he was too tall. He was constantly taking pictures, which I can't fault, I do that too. But at least I try to do it from the back. But then he would like constantly throw out both hands and throw horns. Okay, also acceptable at a metal show. And he would like make these like waving, like, you know, with all your fingers out, like, hi, like, hi,
like jazz hands.
Yeah, like he was like waving to King, like, oh, over here, over here. And I'm just like, what the fuck are you, put your hands down. And then he was like clapping them together over his head like he was at a fucking kumbaya party. I was just like, dude, fucking go away.
And I was like, well, you studied this guy.
He was all I had to look at for the whole show, you know? Normally it doesn't matter, but a King Diamond show, the stage show, I was told, was really fucking awesome. I couldn't tell. All I looked at was flexing neck for the whole night.
Okay. So back to King. King came out, and it was freaking amazing. The sound was fucking spot on.
Yeah, they sounded incredible.
Incredible.
King's voice was, you know, he was hitting those highs, no problem. Mm-hmm. Going low. He was vocally gymnastic, and that made me proud.
The band was sounding great. The drums were... The drummer was... Oh, man. Was rocking.
Yeah, Matt Thompson.
Yes.
I know this because I'm going to name drop. I have both Matt Thompson, the drummer, and Andy LaRocque, the guitar player, are friends of mine on LinkedIn. And I use the term friends very, very loosely. They accepted my request. That was about it.
But, dude, talk about that stage show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'd like to. I only saw, like, the top of the stairs. I think Grandma was out there, and...
Grandma was in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
The first four or five songs... For those of you who've seen pictures, it's the stage from the European shows. You know, massive, you know, backdrop. Massive, you know, inverted crosses on both sides of two massive staircases going up to the top.
There's a big, big Baphomet's pentagram in the middle.
Yeah, huge platform at the top. There's like a wrought iron fence.
That kind of annoyed me. I was like, it's hard enough to see. Why do you have this wrought iron fence in front of the stage? I'm like, is this a lame decorative barricade kind of thing? But a few songs in, they tore it down, so I was like, all right.
Yeah, they're kind of singing and reaching through it.
Yeah, it was like a prop, but it was hard to see through.
They had a incredibly gorgeous actress who was on stage acting along to some of the songs.
It was like the Abigail stuff.
Yeah, the Abigail, the Puppet Master stuff. She was gorgeous.
I believe that was King's wife singing back up on the right side of the stage.
The set list was great. If you're not me, they didn't play Abigail. They didn't play any other tracks I wanted to hear off of Abigail. So I was bummed by that. A lot of people, when they ended, were kind of like, that's it. Yeah, it's over. Because it was...
And see, me, I knew the set list, so I was like, yep, it's over.
And I'm just standing there, because I don't read set lists, that this can't be over now. What did you think of the show?
The show itself sounded amazing. It looked like the stage show was really awesome. Unfortunately, did really miss a lot of it.
The lights show was incredible.
Yeah.
It's a bummer that guy was fucking right in front of you.
Yeah. I was like, so annoying. I tell you what, next fucking show we go to there, 6-inch platform Gene Simmons fucking heels for me, boy. I'm going to be the tallest motherfucker in that room. Be like, ha! And then I'm going to go stand in the middle of the fucking floor and be like, fuck y'all. Try to sit around me.
What did you think of this set list?
It was good. You know, I was happy they played Eye of the Witch. And, you know, a couple of songs off of them. Some Abigail songs, Puppet Master, I believe he opened with The Candle, Fatal Portrait.
I mean, King is fucking back.
Yes, in a big bad way.
Yes, God, he was sounding incredible. So, now we're headed home again. So if you're hearing this, we're going to post it later in the week. If King Diamond's coming through your area and you have not seen him, you have to go out and see this show.
This is my recommendation from Buick. George, you got your recommendation?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we saw him like 10 years ago. It might have been like his last tour, period. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was a while ago. And it was a much smaller venue. It was a good show, but nothing like this. The scale of this is just amazing. The sound quality is so much better. He obviously sings much better now that he's in better health.
Yeah.
Can't recommend it enough.
Yep. And that's it. Anything else you want to... Any other thoughts you got about the whole day or anything?
Those people we were talking to, remember?
Oh, yes! Want to say hi to Angel.
And his wife.
And his wife. We met you guys. Met a nice couple when we were there hanging out. You guys, thanks again for talking with us. Thanks for the great conversation. Thanks for the recommendation on music.
Shall I call you the prop master or perhaps the puppet master?
So it's always nice to meet, fellow metalheads.
And he's almost as old as me.
Yes.
Which almost. Is in itself an achievement.
The crowd today was an older crowd.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
There were a lot of females, too.
Speaking of which, fucking geisha bitch from hell. Got geisha? Is that how you say it? The fucking blonde bitch in a kimono with chopsticks in her hair. Twice.
You are saucy tonight.
She was a fucking bitch. She it's packed full. People try to walk through. They're like, excuse me, pardon me. Maybe they lay a hand on your shoulder or something, let you know they're coming through. Okay, and you step back a little bit. She came up and fucking elbowed me and, tried to shove me out of the way. This is not the pit. This was the back of the room. She was just a fucking rude bitch. And then she did the same thing at the end of the show. And I shoved back on her. I'm like, fuck you. I'm not going to hit a woman, but fuck you. You could just fucking say, excuse me.
George is saucy tonight.
Yeah, I'm right. Fucking riled up. Rawr.
So, I know it's probably not a professional review, but that's the way George and I do things. So that's the King Diamond Show.
Yep.
It's, again, we highly recommend it. It sounded great. He played the Merciful Fate stuff he played sounded great. Man, the crowd was going nuts for that.
Yeah, that was awesome.
So, check him out if he's coming through your area. I think this was, the second or third date?
Second.
Yeah. So, check him out.
All right. We will leave you with that.
And what? No podcast this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to be out of town this weekend, so it looks like we're going to have to wait until the following week for a follow-up episode. Sorry about that.
It's okay. Yep, it'll be a couple weeks, and we'll talk to you guys later.
See ya.
See ya.